just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
And we're back.
Yes, we certainly are.
Of course, with Who Arted.
Yes, we are. Wow, how about that? What a surprise. Today on Who Arted, we have digital artist Mado Elnor. And we're going to be chatting about his current exhibition on display in Ponsonby Central as part of Auckland Art Week. Welcome.
Oh, thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Actually, thank us at the end. You might be in tears by that. No, I'm kidding. Born in Germany and raised in the Middle East, you're a Kiwi multidisciplinary artist, designer and director. How old were you when you moved to New Zealand, and what was it, whereabouts in the Middle East are you from, and what was like life like there for you, and what prompted you to move here?
I came to New Zealand 14 or 15 years ago. I came with my parents and my sisters. It was the number four country living in, and yeah, I haven't been back to the Middle East since I came here. I don't think I ever will.
Oh, right. Okay. So it was okay. So you've three animated short films. You've had three animated short films premiere in the New Zealand International Film Festival, and you've directed music videos and commercials with Fish and Clips/Flying Fish. It's Flying Fish. Is it called Flying Fish now?
Yes.
But it used to be Fish and Clips.
It's both. One is for commercials. One is for music videos.
Music videos, right? Yes. Okay. And you teach part time. At UniTech.
Indeed.
And you advise, you offer advice for Creative New Zealand.
Indeed I do.
So now this is interesting. So how did you get involved with Creative New Zealand?
Oh, that's a very good question. I'm not too sure. They just contacted me once out of the blue, and they said, oh, how about you start assessing our applications? And I said, yeah, sure, you can't say no to Creative New Zealand.
No, that's so exciting, though. So do you look at all all the visual arts, or what do you look at particularly film?
Oh, I do assessments for only one discipline. It's called Enter Arts.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's really interesting. Are you open at all to bribes?
No comment, but we can have a chat after the interview.
Okay.
Yes.
So I just needed to clear that one up. Okay, listeners, okay. You've been described as a multidisciplinary artist with a focus on creating narrative portraiture art through the use of photography and illustration.
Yes.
Your work focuses on depicting people as characters in elaborately detailed and painterly scenes that tell personal stories.
Mm-hmm.
Your style has been described as hyperreal, a hyperreal depiction of stage scenes of real and not so real life situations.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar vein to the works of Dave LaChapelle and Norman Rockwell, which I can see in the cinematic richness of your work and in the poised, slightly jilted way your compositions have been constructed. I personally love David LaChapelle's Still Lifes. Do you know those ones?
Mm-hmm.
Those beautiful flower, bright flower, kind of just crazy arrangements?
Of course I do. I mean, my work kind of resembles his. It's just that I guess my work is a family-friendly version of his.
Oh, yeah, yes, it is much more family-friendly.
Yes.
So looking at one work of yours in particular, speaking of family-friendly, this mm-hmm. one's titled Baby, and is of five... Are they Japanese men or Chinese?
They are a mix. So we have three Chinese men and two Koreans.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. Looking pretty gangster, sitting around in an oriental-looking bar. Very cinematic. The colour grade is cohesive and it's beautifully lit and beautifully crafted. The point of focus of this work is a baby with the central grandfather gangster-type character holding the cloth-swaddled child while surrounded by his menacing-looking crew who are involved in baby-placating actions to some degree.
Uh-huh.
A man smokes a cigarette and tests the bottled milk temperature on his arm instead of what might be, who knows, and another holds a rattle. What inspired this? Can you tell us more about this work?
Well, basically I wanted to create a scene in one of my favourite bars in Auckland, which is Shanghai Lil's.
I thought it was Shanghai Lil's.
Yes, yeah. So basically what happened is I wanted to create a scene that looks like a freeze frame from an imaginary movie. So I've always thought that place looked like a movie set. So I've decided to tell an imaginary story full of tension. And the tension is between what's perceived of those people as being whatever what they do, being gangsters or whatever, yeah. But at the same time, they are showing us the caring, nurturing side of themselves. So that tension creates, well, raises more questions than answers. And that's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in telling stories of people in places.
And I guess it juxtaposes two different but realistically sides of life which do exist, you know.
Absolutely. It's a story that's been told much, much more effectively by Mario Puzo and The Godfather. So they are gangsters, but they're also family people.
Yeah. Yep. So is that the new Shanghai Lives on K Road, or is that is that the K Road location?
Yes, that's the latest reincarnation of Shanghai Lives.
And where did you find your models?
Oh, I got them from a couple of them are my friends, and the rest are from a talent agency called, surprisingly, Great Talent.
Oh, awesome. And did you, like, Google that? I need some talent.
he's a friend of a friend.
Okay. Yes. So when you work on something like this, do you set up the scene entirely before getting into Photoshop? I'm assuming you do use... we'll get into that. Or is this a complete Photoshop composite? How do you work?
That's a very good question, Amy. So my work, let's say 90% of it is real life. Sometimes there are some elements where that needs to be added, but for logistic reasons we can't, so I add them later. But majority of my work features people's actual environments, be it their homes or their work environments, that's what gives the story the personal touch.
Yep. All right. Well, you can tell. It's so incredibly detailed. For example, another work that I grabbed off your site, so this might not be up at Ponsonby, is...
it is, actually.
This one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So this is of a family who's just come home from shopping, and the house is kind of all in the kitchen. The dogs are there. Uh-huh. There's Lego everywhere. There's plastic bags, cooking implements. Everyone's in full action and full flight. It's action packed. It feels like this is a commission. Is this a commission piece?
It is a commission piece. Yes.
Okay. How often do you do commissions, and how long do they usually take you?
Most of my work is commission based. Actually, a commission starts with talking to the family or group of friends or whoever. Getting to know them, getting to know what kind of interaction there is between people. And then that'll take half an hour. And then I go back home and I create a sketch or a storyboard. And then I pitch it back to the client. And that gives them the impression that they have contributed in telling their personal story. And from there on, we work in the production itself and the photo shoot.
Yep.
We set the scene for them. So basically, I go to people's houses or their workspaces, and I turn it upside down.
Yeah.
Where it takes me 2 to 3 hours to set up the scene.
Yeah.
So I'm very particular about how I set the scenes to the millimeter. So everything is there for a reason.
Yeah.
Everything is there almost the way a painter would paint a particular element in a scene. The photo shoot itself takes about an hour or so. Mm. But in this particular shoot, Mel and Steve wanted to tell a personal story about themselves and their kids and their newly renovated house and their little... huge two greyhounds. And we effectively captured the essence of the interaction of the family members, and they will remember the day this photographer came to their house and turned it upside down forever, because it felt more like an activity.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to connect people to the work, and you can tell that it's been thought out. It reminds me a little bit of, I can't think of the artist's name, but you know, the Dutch artists who are very, very detailed, lots of symbology everywhere. You can definitely see that in this. It has that painterly kind of finish to it as well, and the portraits of the people and the placements of the cups and just everything. So detailed. So this scene, would there have been, did you take lights in, and is this exactly, did you have to cut anyone out and stick them back in?
Well, what I do is, because my scenes are really highly detailed and there are a lot of stuff and props around the scene, I tend to shoot one or two people at a time.
Yep.
And light them. And then in post-production, I put everything together. But in a sense, if a painter in Renaissance times took a few months to construct the scene, digital technology had made it much easier to create those scenes, for us to create those scenes, assemble them in post. And what I do is I paint, digitally paint over everything to give it that hyper-real sense where everything looks somewhere between an illustration and a photograph.
And when you paint over things, do you find you're using the traditional tools in Photoshop that the photographer would traditionally develop with, like the dodge and burn tool to just highlight and accentuate, and the clone tool, or do you find that you're actually using, you're grafting on kind of more 3D animatic type?
Oh, very good question. It's a combination of all these things. I've worked as a retoucher and digital artist for years, so I've taught myself all sorts of shortcuts to create the best results. So what I do is I accentuate the lights and the shadow in a sense that, say, Caravaggio would accentuate the shadow and the light to create a dramatic effect. Mm-hmm. I use this to turn characters into almost the most ideal version of themselves.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. They do feel like they're idealized. What is your, here's a bit of a nerdy question. What is your favorite tool in Photoshop?
Oh,
one of the favorite ones.
Yes. I would definitely say the paint tool, and I use it in a similar way to dodge and burn.
Okay. And yes. Do you select, so if you're going to touch up someone's face, do you select a color from it and do you apply an effect on that, like overlay or multiply or?
Oh, okay. What I do is I paint everything and then I decide what sort of an overall overlay or color I choose afterwards. But most of my color palettes are painterly and almost timeless. But I also have a lot of references to Renaissance, Baroque kind of style.
Yeah, you can definitely see that there. Another work I just really quickly want to flag is the one that's called Chess. It's a guy playing chess with his dog.
Oh, yes.
He looks really familiar. Who is he?
Yes. So his name is Oscar. He was a work colleague from an advertising agency. And the dog is called Momo. And she is actually his dog. So Oscar and Momo are very interesting characters in a sense that if you see them from a distance, he's 2 meters tall and she is a greyhound. They really look like each other. They're long and slender.
Yeah, you
and
can tell.
They're like characters from a movie. And I thought, well, they would definitely fit one of my my scenes. So I created a personal story of how they interact with each other. And as you can see, Momo is beating him in a chess game. And if you go in detail and see what the game is, she is it is a checkmate.
Oh, very clever. Well, I like a smart puppy dog. I have one of myself. So you also are a recipient of an award of a place on Art Venture 2016, which is an acceleration program for experienced creative entrepreneurs in Auckland.
Yes.
It offers logistics support, mentorship and capital investment. This sounds fantastic. I've never heard of it before. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, Art Venture was an amazing experience. So basically, the best way to describe it is it's counseling for artists.
Yeah.
So it's the equivalent of sitting on a couch and try to dig really deep into yourself and your practice and what it all means to you. And there's more logistic, boring side of things. They teach you how to run your business and the paperwork and all that. But it's this really, it's a 12-month program, and they really teach you those amazing tools about taking your practice into the next level.
That sounds really, really, really good, and I think it would be really helpful for a lot of artists that have been practicing for a while and are struggling to just keep everything ticking over. So Art Venture, is that just something they can find out? I guess they can Google it. Google Art Venture, people. So that's about all we've got time for, but is there anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
Well, thank you very much again for having me. As you mentioned, I should thank you right at the end.
And, oh, yes. You're welcome.
Yes. And please have time to go and visit my exhibition at Ponsonby Central.
I've already seen it. I went there.
Oh, lovely.
I went there and went to Chop Chop and ate some ramen afterwards. Have you been to Chop Chop?
Oh, great. Oh yes, I have.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know,
yeah. What a great combo of things. So yeah. You go and appreciate art. There's some more arts next door. And my artworks are 1 meter by 1.5 meter. We do commissions for people. So go there and imagine yourself in one of these artworks. And let's talk.
Wonderful. Well, that's on at Ponsonby Central. That'll be up until Sunday's last day. And if you'd like to check out more work, go to worldofmardo.com. And thanks again for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Ooh, I like this.
Très chic.
Très cool.
Touché.
Chin chin.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini.